Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Our new peanut butter protein crunch bowl. It's traffic time.
9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Now welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture. With daily use.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey sports station.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, Ryan Hughley is out. They done turned the steering wheel and the drive over to Old Dirty Red. Now, y'all, hey, buckle up. Buckle up.
Wait a minute.
Get your ass ready. We got 4 hours, baby. I tell you what, we're down at Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, $59.99. Come through. Bud Light raffle items, 2 pairs of tickets, 2 tailgate wristbands, 2 $25 Visa gift cards. We've already had Texans defensive lineman Foley, Fotokasi, and now we're joined by what I believe – is the top college football analyst in the game, Danny Cannell. Danny, how you doing, man?
What's up, Clint? How we doing, man? It is great to be on with you today. Thank you for saying that, man. I'm assuming you say that to everybody that comes on here, but I'm not going to let, you know, I'll go ahead and take the compliment.
Well, look, Danny, here's the deal. You didn't take the compliment. You turned it down, but here's the deal. They don't typically let me drive, so I don't get to introduce. So I would. The one time I do drive, I damn sure ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, my brother.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you're the best host of this show that I've ever best hosting I've ever heard of when I've come on this show. So I'm fired up to be here now.
You too, man. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, not at y'all's private little location.
I hope Ron's ass is listening, man. Hey, Danny, let's get into this thing, man. Let's start with locally, obviously, we're in Houston, you know that, and let's start with the Longhorns, man. Just the quarterback situation there with Arch Manning. We know how healthy the quarterback situation there is, obviously, with those two guys. But with what's gone on the last couple of weeks, how do you view that situation? Just your thoughts on Sark and the Texas Longhorns quarterback.
Obviously, it's the best quarterback room in the country, but I also love the way Sark has handled this. And I love the way that Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning have handled this, because I've been in a lot of different quarterback rooms, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Clint. Like, some of them are healthy, where the relationships are really tight, there's good vibes, everyone's supportive of one another. Other times, I've been in there where there's jealousy, there's guys thinking, I'm better than that guy, I should be playing, and it's contentious. And it really can derail a team, and it makes it uncomfortable for everyone involved. But I thought Sark handled it beautifully last year, when after spring football, he shut it down and he said, this is Quinn Ewers' team. And I thought Arch Manning knew that, but I thought it was important that everyone out there knew it, and that there wasn't a quarterback competition, and that Arch Manning was just a freshman like all the other freshmen in that class, even though we all know Arch is not just your average freshman. So it started off there. Then I do love how Arch checked his ego at the door when he got there and just went to work, didn't do a lot of public, you know, speaking media, didn't do a lot of commercials. I know he's gotten more lately, but I thought, and he always deferred to Quinn as the starter. So I think there's just a really, really healthy relationship there with all parties involved. I think that has kind of really helped the team. And by the way, I think Texas is the best team in the country. I know Bama leapfrogged them last week because of their big win over Georgia, but I still think Texas is the most complete team, and the depth they have showcasing they can get by if a quarterback gets hurt and has to miss a couple games like Quinn did. I think they're deep. I think they are the best team in the country right now.
Well, Danny, you answered my question before I could even ask you, because you said even before that they have the best quarterback room in the country. And my question to you was going to be, how much of the lesson learned with Quinn being out and Arch playing the way he did was that this Texas team is one that could win a national championship no matter which quarterback that they put out there?
That's the big point right there, and that's what I was so impressed. And I was at, you know, it was interesting. So I was at Michigan. I'll tell you the story. I was at Michigan for Michigan USC, which was a great game, and it was just a couple weeks after Texas had been there. And I was on the field before the game, and I was talking to a Michigan guy, and we were talking about USC, and I'm like, man, they look pretty good. You know, they have some big offensive linemen, some big defensive linemen. They look really athletic. This is going to be a tough challenge for Michigan. And he goes, you should have seen Texas. And I mean, it was like, oh, really? And we also saw what Texas did to Michigan on the field too, right? I mean, that was – see, that's where I think that win was just as impressive, if not more, of what Alabama did to Georgia in their own backyard. What Texas did on the road at the Big House, I thought was really impressive. But they're just deep all around. They've been able to handle injuries at the running back position. The one position that I think has been the biggest question mark, and the one that probably will remain, is just the interior of that defensive line, which I, you know, because of course they lost the two big dudes last year in the interior. I think they're holding up just fine, and I think Sark has done a great job building the roster, and I think we know the offensive firepower they have. I just think they're the most complete team in the country.
That voice you hear is Danny Cannell. Danny joins us live courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference highs and Heisman, and college football week 6 lines. All things college football at Bet Online. Danny, we talked a lot about Texas. And you mentioned a little earlier that Alabama-Georgia game. And I mean, that was one for the ages, man. Just to me, one of the bigger stories as we talk about top programs in America is Jalen Milroe surviving the head coach change and fitting a system that I had questions whether he could fit it. I had questions whether, hey, is Kalen DeBoer going to meet him in the middle? What is that going to look like? when it comes to powerhouse programs, that was one of my headline topics, right? Just your thoughts on how that's worked out, and if you had some questions about it initially as well.
Yeah, I think almost everybody did when you looked at Jalen Milroe, who, man, what a great career story it is of perseverance. And I kind of know a lot of quarterbacks, when they're young, they face adversity. Let's not forget, it was just over a year ago he got benched. He didn't even play against South Florida in that game. And they played two other quarterbacks, and his career looked like it could have gone a bunch of different directions. He stayed positive. He went out there. He supported the other quarterbacks. He was one of the biggest cheerleaders on the field that night. And I think really it's, of course, it's his physical capabilities, which are off the charts. He's an incredibly gifted runner. He's becoming a really gifted passer. But I think what makes him most impressive is his mental makeup, his mental toughness. And I thought that was the one thing that I wanted to see Jalen Milroe develop was as a passer. And I was curious how he would do with learning a new system in Kalen DeBoer's system, where we saw Michael Penix last year at Washington underneath him handle a lot at the line of scrimmage, had a lot on his plate. And Jalen Milroe has picked that up. And I think this is a credit to both of them, because I think Kalen DeBoer, the system isn't exactly the same. Penix wasn't that much of a runner. But where Milroe has really developed is he's embraced him as a runner, but his mid-level pass game. Last year, he threw the deep ball as good as anybody, but it was more of, all right, it's going to be all or nothing in that offense. They really just thrived off the deep ball and checkdowns. He was not very accurate on the underneath passes. But this year, to where they are, completing 73% of his passes, making great decisions, and then to make that, I know Ryan Williams is insane, but some of the throws that he had to him were absolutely beautiful. There's a definitive reason why Jalen Milroe right now is the favorite for the Heisman, because he's playing like the best player in college football.
All right, Danny, so Texas A&M has an undefeated Missouri team that's coming into town. I want to get your thoughts on this game and what has stood out to you about Texas A&M on both sides of the ball so far this season.
Sure. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. The thing that jumps out the most on the offensive side of the ball for the Aggies is the change at quarterback, which, yes, I know. And it was interesting because Eli Drinkwitz even, he alluded to the depth chart, which still lists Connor Wigman as the starter. He said, that's just semantics. We're planning for Marcel Reed. And that's who I think, it's interesting because I think if you had a 7-on-7 drill at practice, I bet Connor Wigman would shine and he'd probably look better than Marcel Reed. But where Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator, has really embraced Marcel Reed is his running ability. And that's where the game is going. That's where the game is evolving to. And I think you'll continue to see improvements in Marcel Reed as a passer. And most importantly, he hasn't turned the ball over. He's been really clean with the football. And that will always find you an edge with where you are in the quarterback race and the quarterback battle, and a lot of times where it leads you to wins, and that's where they are. The defense side of the ball, and I don't remember if I told you about this before. I think you guys already knew about him from the spring game, but Nick Scorton, the job that he's done, the transfer from Purdue, I think he's one of the better edge rushers in the country. The defense, I think, and we saw that against Notre Dame, has always been, played the part. You have a defensive-minded coach, Mike Elko. So, you combine that defense with an offense now that seems like it's come to life with Marcel Reed calling the shots at quarterback. And I like this Texas A&M team, and I look at them. This game is huge because the way the schedule unfolds and the way it could set up is that you could have a one-loss Texas A&M hosting the Longhorns on November 30th, which would be a dream matchup for college football fans everywhere. I'm sure for Aggie fans, I'm sure for Longhorn fans, that would be absolutely insane. But as I've learned this year, you can't ever just start chalking up wins, especially the way the competitive nature and parity across college football. But the schedule does set up very nicely if they can get through this game.
Danny, if I remember correctly, you and I had a conversation about being high on A&M because of the schedule and being higher on Wegman than a lot of folks and possibly being a team that could, with that schedule, sneak into the college football playoffs. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think we had that conversation. Do you think that ship has sailed for Texas A&M, or do you think now having ultimately two quarterbacks that they can win games with possibly, do you think that helps them?
Oh, absolutely. Last year Florida State got burned by the, quarterback getting hurt and the team looking worse. I think, what the rule was put in for, and this was my interpretation of it, was that if you had a player get injured and you had another one step in, and maybe you had lost a game like Texas A&M to Notre Dame, and there was a quarterback in there, and then you had a quarterback come in who was an improvement, which I think you could argue right now that Marcel Reed has been an improvement, that that loss would look different. And when I mean different, it doesn't look as penalizing, because maybe if Marcel Reed starts that game, they win. You know, so that's the way I always interpreted that rule. So, yeah, I think that's a huge benefit for A&M if it does, in fact, work out that way and Reed ends up starting the rest of the season, which I don't know how you guys feel. I'm under that assumption. I know Elko has still alluded to, hey, Connor Wigman's getting healthy. And I guess you're kind of playing with house money, because you can keep rolling Marcel Reed out there until maybe he struggles. Like, if he threw a couple picks in the first half, you go to Wegman and, you know, you can make that change, or you can do it against Mississippi State. But I think you roll with the hot hand. It's not like Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers. Like, Quinn Ewers has established himself as the entrenched starter. He's won at Alabama and at Michigan. I don't care if Arch Manning had thrown 5 touchdowns every game. I'm giving the ball back to Quinn Ewers in that example. This is different. Connor Wegman is not somebody who's, you know, played a lot of games that is the leader of that team and had, you know, just tremendous success. He's had moments and flashes, but what we saw against him, from him in Notre Dame, was extremely disappointing and concerning. And that's why I think it's a pretty easy decision for Mike Elko.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you right there, man. Because I'll be honest, when I watch Reed play, this is not, like, I hope, and I hadn't heard anybody do it, but I hope nobody's couching this guy into a guy that can just make the off-script, off-platform type plays, and he's got some explosiveness and some twitch, and he can create when the play's not just right. Because watching him play, man, this guy can spin the rock. Now, he's young, and you can tell things are moving really fast for him in from a coverage perspective and in the pocket. But when you talk about – if you watching him play, man – one thing that C.J. Stroud here in Houston's talked a lot about is micro movements in the pocket. You know, not mm-hmm. bailing when you get a little bit of pressure, just to slide step and stay in the pocket and deliver the football. If you watch him through that lens, he's pretty damn good. I mean, it's a convincing quarterback product to stick with. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Danny.
Danny, you mentioned earlier about Jalen Milroe being the Heisman front runner, but it's not like he's the only contender. I want to ask you specifically about another Houston guy, Cam Ward. Obviously, Travis Hunter is doing things at a level, you know, both sides of the ball, that I don't think we've seen before. Who's your Heisman favorite, and just what sort of stands out to you about these standouts that I mentioned to you? Cam Ward, a local guy, and, of course, Travis Hunter, what he's doing out there in Colorado.
Cam Ward has been phenomenal. And, Friday night he had a national stage, and he wasn't playing great against Virginia Tech. He fumbled. He had a couple interceptions. But he did put his team back in a position to win, and he did have really a Heisman moment when he had that kind of scramble around play, and he flipped it out to his – tight end, I think it was. I forget the exact player who he got it to, and it was a huge play that got them down there for a score. Plus, he's putting up astronomical numbers, like numbers that we haven't seen in the history of Miami Hurricane football, which is pretty outstanding considering some of the quarterbacks that have gone through there. My concern with Cam Ward is this. The schedule isn't that great, and I look at opportunities for him to have eyeballs on him, right? Like, we saw this past Saturday night, Jalen Milroe, 12 million people tuned in for that game. This weekend, they play at 10:30 at night on ESPN against Cal, which is going to be a tough game for them. But, like, how many Heisman voters are going to be staying up too late to watch that? Then they go on the road to Louisville. The fact that Florida State is down and as bad as Florida State is actually hurts Cam Ward in the Heisman, because that could have been a game that he could have shined in and really had a, you know, performance that people would have been tuning in for. I don't know if it'll be the same. And then they have a bunch of blowouts. So statistically, he'll be right in the mix because he's going to put up monster numbers. He can win it in the ACC championship game. That'll probably what it'll determine Cam Ward. For Travis Hunter, who I've been saying since before the season started, he is the best player in college football, the best pure football player, because no one else does what he does. That win against UCF was huge, because I do think you have to get to the magical number of 8 wins. And it shouldn't be this way. I'm just telling you the way I think it is and the way Heisman voters think. You have to get to 8 wins, because I just think the perception is, if you are the greatest player in college football, you help elevate your team to win football games, which he did against UCF, again, going over 100 yards rushing, you know, coming up with big plays on the defensive side of the ball. And what makes it more realistic now is that they do sit at 2-0 in the top 12, in the Big 12 rankings. They do. You start looking at the schedule, the Big 12 has been so competitive. and he does have a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders who's playing as good as anybody, that the 8 wins all of a sudden looks way more likely than 4 or 5, which was their win total coming in. So I think Travis Hunter is very much a real player. I would just keep an eye on that 8-win magical number. If they get to 9, I think he's almost a certainty that he'll win the Heisman Trophy, but we got to see him get there first.
I got him. If he stays healthy, he's getting it for me. 124, 126 snaps.
It's unreal, man.
We've never seen it. I'm not a historian. But, I mean, right. we talk about two-way players, guys that caught one or two balls in a game and were crazy athletes. This dude's going out there.
How's he not cramping up? I don't understand.
They're wired different, man. Every now and then you get one of them dudes that's just wired different. That's for sure. Danny, we do this little thing at the end of almost every show, just a little best bet segment, man. And I know that's your game. You're in that world, man. If you've got one bet, and if you want to go tonight on the Buck Falcons game, that'd be cool. If you want to stick to college, that's fine. Just give me your top bet of the of either tonight or the weekend.
I'll go with the best bet of the weekend, and I'll keep it right there in Texas. I really like the Aggies this week. I do. Missouri, I look at Missouri, they have a 9 in front of them. They're ranked number 9, right? So they get a lot of attention because of that. They're undefeated, but they have played some scary games where they're just, and some people are like, they're playing down to the level of competition. I just think they're not that good as we think they are. They've, in a struggle against Boston College, they escaped that one. They went to overtime versus Vanderbilt. Brady Cook, I think he's going to struggle against that front 7 of the Aggies. I think Nick Scorton has a huge game, and I'm going to ride the Marcel Reed train and say it keeps going. So I'll lay the points with Texas A&M. They also, Brady Cook called out the 12th man, and Elko's challenging the 12th man. That place is going to be bonkers. Man, give me the Aggies. I'll lay them with the Aggies.
I love it, man. Danny, that's Danny Cannell. Danny, I appreciate you joining us once again, my brother.
You guys are awesome, man. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.
You got it, man. Danny Cannell joins us live, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 6 lines. That's Bet Online. Always good to have Danny on, man.
I thought he was going to give me something on Sam Houston State UTEP tonight, man. I was hoping he'd give me something a little bit more in the weeds, but I can appreciate his I can appreciate his fervor and his energy around the Aggies, man. I can feel that.
It's wild the way, I mean, because the college football landscape is so broad, man. It's hard to do what my man does and just be able to talk any game anybody can throw at him in depth.
Oh, man, I was checking out their podcast, their Cover 3 podcast that he does a little while ago before the show. And, man, they went an hour and a half. It was really college football heaven. I wish I had time to go through all of it. But they went an hour and a half on the Thursday, Friday slate, the weekend before their picks. We didn't get into this, but Danny's picks didn't go too well last week. I didn't want to mess with him about that too much. But, man, it is a good time, a good listen, man, for sure.
All right, the Texans got the Bills this week, and there's a small problem. The Texans are the most penalized football team in the NFL. This topic has been on the docket for about 3 days now. We hadn't circled back to it. We got to hit that next right here on Sports Radio.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go 16. Ron Ugly is out. Brandon Scott is in for Ron. And like the big voice guy said, we're at, that's perfect. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings in 5999 up in New Caney. Come through, hang out with us. We got plenty of room. Drinks are flowing. Food is always good. And we got, we've already given away one of the gift cards now. So if you show up after this, we've already given away one. We got one more $25 gift card. And we got two pairs of Texans tickets along with wristbands for the Bud Light tailgate party going on before the game. So we got a lot to give away here. I also got a cooler. We've got a chair. I keep forgetting about those two things. Bud Light. Bud Light brings so many items that I keep forgetting about what all we've got. So we got to give those away. We got to speed this thing up a little bit.
Man, coolers, chairs, towels, that's gift cards.
That's right.
Man, I'm just telling you, everything that you need. And, of course, obviously – we broadcast the Bud Light Plaza, the pregame shows. Obviously, Clinton and Sean Pendergast handle the postgame show. But you can catch them in the pregame show if you're tailgating. Go and check out Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast doing their thing, getting you ready for Texans Bills.
Absolutely. And it's a big game this weekend. Another Bud Light sponsorship making it happen here. Appreciate Bud Light. But the Reppin' H-Town game, there's a theme this week. It's all the new rebranding that the Texans have done. It's all going to come to fruition, if you will, on Sunday at noon. In fact, Miss Debbie, I'm going to give her last name away, but she pulled up out there in a H-Town. Looks like a Dodge pickup to me. It's beautiful. We're going to go out there and check that out here in a little bit as well. The Texans-Bills Sunday, we're not only giving away a few tickets, B. Scott, but we got some discussions to have, man.
Yeah.
Look, the Texans are the most penalized team in the NFL. And if they are going to compete with the big boys in the AFC and ultimately the big boys in the NFL, then they're going to have to tighten this thing up.
Yeah.
They're the most penalized team in the NFL right now. The Texans, penalties per game, they're sitting at 10. The Ravens are right behind them at 9-8. The Dolphins are at third with 9 penalties per game. And just how concerned are you about the penalties that we've seen the Texans commit this year?
Oh, I'm very concerned. Now, it depends on – like how you define concern. Do I have faith in the leadership of the team, like folks like D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, you know, Will Anderson on the defensive side? But most of these penalties we're talking about are along the offensive line. Do I have faith in the team leadership to get it corrected? Sure. But that's also the reason why I'm concerned about it. It surprises me, Clint, and I've been saying this for a few days. It surprises me, and I would not have predicted that a D'Amico Ryan's-led football team you would be able to characterize as either undisciplined or just flat out the most penalized team in football. That's not something that I would have been expecting from this team or from a D'Amico Ryans-led team. Now, I'm not saying it's squarely D'Amico Ryans' fault, but he does have to, you know, hold some level of accountability for it. And then the players, who I would lay it at their feet primarily, they've got to do something to look themselves in the mirror and correct this thing as well. So, no, I think it's a huge concern when we talk about issues with the offensive line, issues with the offense itself not being as explosive as we want it to be. A lot of that, I would say most of it, is tied to the fact that when they're moving the ball, it never fails. Something silly happens on this along the penalty front, whether it's a holding, illegal man downfield, illegal procedure, false start, whatever it is. Like there seems to always be something that takes them back when they feel like they're moving the ball down the field. So to me, it's a big issue, and it's a big issue as to why they have not realized their potential offensively yet. They keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, D'Amico took a lot of heat in the postgame presser after last week, and rightfully so. I mean, it's become so widespread. It's both sides of the football. It's a locker room problem. It's not just that we like to have the conversation about Laremy Tunsil because he's the highest paid. And he is the tip of the spear, if you will, that of the penalty problem.
Sure.
But, I mean, let's be honest. Laremy's not getting 10 a game. I mean, it's been both sides of the football.
He tried against Minnesota, though, Clint.
He was trying to break a record. He's trying to break a record. That's for damn sure. But if that brings me to a point where, like, I'm concerned about how D'Amico handles this thing. Like to me, in fact, I'm so concerned, I think it's beyond a D'Amico problem. Like, I think the team, the C.J. Strouds, the Laremy Tunsils, the Jimmy Wards, the Derek Stingley's not much of a talker, but Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter, they've got to really bear down on each other and hold each other accountable. The coach can only do so much.
Yeah.
You're not going to bench a $20 million a year guy. You're not going to cut Sims because he dropped a punt and then threw an elbow at a guy on the sideline. You're too good of a football team to all of a sudden start cutting guys and benching guys for penalties. That's where we're at right now. But if the team doesn't correct it, if the guys in each meeting room don't correct it, it's going to come down to the head coach. Well, you're going to lose football games because of it, and it's going to come down to the head coach not having a choice. So,
yeah, I mean, even though you say those things are hard to do, it does beg the question, though, Clint, what does accountability look like? It's not like you're going to make Laremy Tunsil run laps or suicides or bleachers, whatever the proper term is these days.
He was making them other cats run laps around the field in front of all the fans during training camp.
But that's training camp, right?
You're right. I just couldn't wait for Laremy Tunsil to get back because I'm thinking false starts equal lap around the field in front of everybody. Like, this could be interesting when Laremy gets back out here. Do they make him do it? Is this just a Kenyon Green thing or one of the young guys' deal? But it never happened in practice that I saw anyway. So
you know, I'm around the locker room a little bit. I have on good enough authority that he's done about as much of yelling as you're going to be able to do to grown men. It's not like he's going to be out there yelling at them like they're children. But as far as you can go in that route of calling guys out and that sort of thing, he's done that. It's really the part that you just said, Clint, about looking yourselves into the leaders on this team, looking themselves in the mirror and deciding what do we want to be about, what do we want to stand for. That's what we're going to be looking to see.
Well, we've talked a lot about them needing to win this game. Needing to play well in this game and keep up with Buffalo, show you belong in that caliber of football team. And it's simple. Nobody's good enough, but you're definitely not good enough to overcome that kind of penalty issue against this football team, even though it is in your own backyard. It's going to be tough to overcome that if at all is
possible. And how about just establishing good habits? Let's just clean it up. Win
man.
Or lose habits.
Yeah.
They talk about this all the time. Just have good habits. Clean up your stuff.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the other thing is it's taking some monster plays off the board, and they've got to get that part of it figured out. All right, the Astros again. I know it's a tough day in Astro land, no doubt about it. But the Astros, they were eliminated, obviously, pre-ALCS for the first time in 8 years. We talked a little bit about the Bregman situation earlier. I got one more question for you, and I feel like I may be on an island by myself with this one. But I got one more question about the manager that we need to have after. Obviously, getting bounced out of the playoffs earlier than expected. We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio. All right, Ron Ugly is out. Brandon Scott is in, and we're rocking and rolling. Big shout out again to Bud Light for making it possible. We got all kind of giveaways, y'all. We just gave away another $25 gift card. Miss Debbie with a sweet rig, a sweet Texans rig out here. She won that. So we've given away two $25 gift cards. We've got chair, and I'm gonna give both the chair and the cooler away together. And then we've got two pairs of Texans Bills tickets this Sunday, courtesy of Bud Light. In fact, each pair comes with two wristbands that'll get you into the tailgate, the Bud Light tailgate, that is. So we'll give those. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give away the first pair of tickets at 4:30. We're going to give away the first pair of tickets at 4:30.
Call that appointment listening, baby.
Yeah, we're going to give the first pair of tickets away at 4:30, then we'll do the second pair in the 5 o'clock hour. I'll figure out when we're going to drop these this chair and this cooler in there as well. I like the chair and the cooler sitting up in front of us so everybody knows how big Bud Light has come through here.
I can't lie to y'all, man. I'm a little upset that I'm not eligible to win this here, man, because I'm sitting up here. I'm an employee. I'm part of the show. I can't – look, if I was one of y'all, I'd absolutely be in for this, put my name in the raffle box trying to win one of these bad boys, man. Get into it.
Hey, big shout-out to my boy Mike at Empower. Empower. I'm not going to give you the rest of the place, but, Mike, you know what I'm talking about. One of my wife's docs, she's I don't know if it's the kind of doctor that your wife necessarily wants to walk up to and go, "Hey, I saw your last name. I listened to your husband." My wife's like, "Oh, okay. Well, can we go back here and get this done?" But Big Mike, I appreciate you listening, man. The Astros getting eliminated last night.
Yeah.
It was painful to watch. It's something that we here in Houston aren't used to. 8 years, first time not being in the ALCS or better. And the immediate thoughts as, again, the postseason turns to the offseason, we talked about Bregman a little bit earlier. We'll rehash that again in a bit. But even got into Tucker and you know, what – you know, I think we did. Did we get into Tucker?
Yeah, man. I think they got planning things to address, for
sure. Yeah, they've got some – but for me – I'm curious, and I think it is something that will potentially be addressed. Do you think Joe Espada's the guy moving forward?
I think he showed that he was over the course of the year. So for me, earlier on in the year, I had some serious questions, and it was really less about Joe Espada and more about the state of the team, the writing feeling like it was being on the wall between the injuries and their window feeling like it was closing. They were an aging team. Or a team losing its players, players getting hurt. And I wondered, hey, is Joe Espada, you know, having this being his first managerial job, is he the right guy to get them through the transition of contender to, hey, now we're rebuilding? I thought Joe Espada was fine for, hey, just pick up where A.J. Hinch and then Dusty Baker left off, essentially, right? I thought that was fine.
Yeah.
But when it looked like, hey, you know what, we might need somebody a little bit more ground floor type, you know, like more of a builder type, I was concerned. Then the Astros got it together, and I think in no small part to some of the savviness and some of the moves and the steady-handedness, I would say, of Joe Espada. I think it was mostly, you know, things coming together, mostly a pitching staff coming together. But I did think that Joe Espada, aside from like the whole temperament thing and the leadership thing, and we had our issues with, hey, is this guy an alpha? Is he really the leader that you want? But I thought he pressed the right buttons in game as a manager. Some of the moves he would make, the way he would go to his bench, some of the pitching decisions that he would make throughout the year. I grew to become more and more comfortable with Joe Espada over time than I was in the beginning of the year when it was looking rough for everybody. I mean, there was a point in time where if your name wasn't Hunter Brown, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve, I could have all of you could have got it to step in for me as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
But over time, I did feel like by the time we got to the end of it, Joe Espada had won me over.
Yeah, I think I'm the opposite.
You think they need a different guy?
Well, I think both the last two managers they've hired, and Dusty was obviously a Hall of Fame manager, it's a different animal. But I'm just talking about the hiring process, like. I feel like when you hired Dusty, it was paramount that you go get a guy that is a that that can help these great players not only continue to win, but help these great players deal with the fallout of the sign-stealing scandal.
Yeah.
And we talked heavily about it. I thought he was a perfect fit for that, right? Now, he continued on, and as a Hall of Fame manager did some big things. I feel like, I know for me personally, Joe Espada, to me, was hired, and it was a hire that I wanted because I thought it was – I thought, again, at this point it was paramount that you hire a guy that understands the clubhouse – chemistry and the dynamic in that clubhouse. You got a lot of veteran guys in there. You got a chemistry that doesn't need to be disrupted. You need a guy that can just keep this train on the tracks, right?
Yeah.
And whether we think he did a good job or a bad job getting off in the weeds, I'm just curious of is he still the guy if this team is at a crossroads to where they've got to move on from a Bregman and it's kind of a semi-rebuild, if you will, is he the guy that's best suited for that? Look, when you've got a team that's been to seven straight ALCSs, hiring somebody that knows the ins and outs and has been in the building, I thought was, boom, the most important
thing. Right, right, right.
But now you've lost in the wild card round. You had the worst regular season that you've had for a big stretch over the seven-year run. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I guess the jury's out for me. It wouldn't shock me, nor would I be disappointed if they didn't find somebody else to be the manager for the Astros.
And see, what I'm saying is, I was where you are now in the beginning of the season when the you know what started to hit the fan. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I were on the same page going into it. Hey, yeah, this is the perfect fit to kind of get you into this transition from here to there. But then when it started to go off the rails, I was exactly where you are right now. Like, you know what, man, I'm not sure if this is exactly the guy to get you through that. But what I will say to his credit is throughout the season, he won me over in that way. I did grow to feel confident that, hey, Joe Espada can win with a ready-made team. Joe Espada can win with a kind of slung-together team, which what it felt like it was by the end of it. He gained my confidence over time in a way that he did not have it in the beginning because of the way things were going.
So are you rolling with Joe Espada or no?
I am. Everybody, to me, in the beginning, Joe Espada looked overwhelmed. The whole damn team looked overwhelmed. By the end of it, I thought that Joe Espada was an overachiever. I thought he was an overachiever for what they had, what they ended up with injury-wise, and not being nearly as good as we thought they were going in. Yeah, when you talk about your list of concerns with the Astros, Joe Espada would be far, far, far down the list. I would be fine with Joe Espada coming back.
Yeah, I tell you, I thought Joe did a great job. Now it didn't. It ended up being the reason we got ousted up out of this thing with Hader and Presley.
Yeah.
But I admired and respected the way he handled that in training camp. It wasn't no drag out, no playing, no games, no scared conversations. It was sitting down. Here's what we're gonna do, fellas. Is Presley's gonna get to eight? Hater's going to get the ninth. Now, whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant to me. The way he handled it, I thought was a plus. The way he handled Caratini and Diaz. Now, I'm hung up on at one point this year Diaz was batting ninth. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Like, that kind of stuff is silly to me. But he ended up, I think, managing both of those bats to where first and catcher and DH, I thought he did a good job getting the best lineup.
And that was a situation he inherited because first base was such a mess.
Sure, sure, sure.
So he had to navigate that. Somebody's got to figure that out when the management above you gives you nothing at first base. And look, now I got to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
I got to give Joe Espada credit for how he did that. And I'll go one step further, Clint. Out of all of the folks that are in some kind of position of power, let's go beyond the players, but from ownership to management to, you know, skipper, all the folks that are in some position of power, just based off of last year, I got the most confidence in Joe Espada than any of them. And shout out to Dana Brown for getting the Yusei Kikuchi deal done and all of that. But he's got some clunkers up there, too. Out of all of them, the most confidence that I got right now based off of the most recent receipts that I got is Joe Espada. Now, you can take that with a grain of salt and maybe not feel good about that in and of itself, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think there you talk about management. I do think that's interesting as well. Is Dana Brown calling the shots? How involved is Dana Brown? What's the dynamic with Joe Espada? It seemed like Dana Brown was pulling a lot of the – he was making a lot of the decisions definitely early on.
Yeah.
And definitely with the Jose Abreu deal and you know, early on with Jake Meyers and even Diaz. And
Rafael Montero they had to let go.
Yeah,
all of that.
It seems like that dynamic is interesting, too. And I don't know that it's – I don't know it because I'm not there every day. But it seems like there's something interesting about it. And I don't know that if you're going to go through a rebuild and I don't know if you don't need a manager that's going to be a little bit more, you handle that front office stuff and I'm going to handle this baseball stuff.
Yeah, I think Astros fans got to ask themselves two questions going into the offseason. A, what do you want your team to – what do you feel like your team needs to do to get back into that spot that they've been in over the last, you know, close to a decade? And so that's question one. But then question two is, do you trust the cooks in the kitchen to cook you a meal?
Yeah.
Like, do you?
Yep.
Like, I think those are both valid from and if you want to take it from Joe's spot all the way up, like, I think those are valid questions. What do you want this team to look like, and do you trust the folks in charge to make it look that way?
Well, we'll see. The Astros are out. We've got a lot of we got a long offseason, a lot longer offseason with the Astros than expected, so we got a lot of conversations that'll be had. That man right there on the screen, Alex Bregman, number two, is going to be topic of conversation.
Ooh, boy.
As we move forward. All right, we've got an official Thursday injury report from the Houston Texans. This is a monster game on Sunday. Who's going to be on the field? Who's prepping? Who's practicing? Who's not? We will have the most recent report officially from the Houston Texans. We'll have that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.